Paul Henderson joining us this morning. How you doing, Paul?
I'm fine, but you better tell everybody I didn't score that goal.
I know. They're just saying, I was going to say, which was better, Game 6, Game 7, or Game 8? But I've actually missed chatting with you. I used to run into you from time to time about what was going on, because you always had your hand on the pulse about different events and different games and what have you. And you know, maybe first off, before we step back about those bids, 2024, changing world, 9/11, I mean, all these other things. What is your thinking when you hear about the interest, whether we should or should not make a bid?
Well, first of all, when I watch the people who are supposed to be experts on the Olympics, they tend to use logic, which most of us would agree is right, but you have to understand the International Olympic Committee has their own logic. For example, they have five continents: Europe, Asia, Africa, Oceania, and the Americas. They consider North and South America as one continent. And we tend to say, oh, well, North America, it's our turn because of Atlanta. We haven't had it since 96. But that's not true. How the IOC looks at it is they have an unwritten rotation, which goes Europe, Americas, somewhere else. Europe, Americas, somewhere else. And if you look at 2008, it went to Beijing, which is somewhere else. Then you have 2012, London, Europe, then Rio 2016, which is Americas, 2020 is Tokyo. So 2024, by that rotation unwritten, it will go to Europe. And on top of that, sometimes the IOC has a conscience on somebody who didn't get the games that they thought should have. 2012, everybody thought it was going to Paris. But I remember sitting beside Bob Elphiston, who ran Sydney, at the presentation in Singapore. And after the Paris presentation, I said, Bob, that was the worst presentation I've ever seen in my life. And then London got up, and I said, that's the best presentation I've ever seen. So what happened was, that I'm sure at least 10 of the IOC votes changed, and London won. So you got two things going against you in 2024. It's Europe's turn, and the IOC feels they have an obligation to Paris.
Well, the other thing, Paul, is you mentioned about the IOC having a conscience, and a lot of people now, because of the IOC and the members and what's been exposed, figure, what's the point of even going in the first place, that it's basically a corrupt organization, and let's not even get into it? I don't know what in 96 it seemed like there was elements of that kind of usurped you at the last second, when it seemed like Toronto might have a chance for that 96 Olympics. I mean, what's your thinking that way about people's perception that way?
Well, if you get 120 of anything, especially people from all over the world, you're going to have 10% are questionable people. But the majority of the IOC members are outstanding people. People like Jean-Claude Keeley. You couldn't find a finer man than him. Or Princess Anne. Is she ever tough? And does she ever know what she's talking about? And you go down the list. So, yeah, you're going to have some bad ones. But, I don't care. You're going to get 120 Roman Catholic priests, you're going to have 10 are bad. Or even 120 media people, you're going to get 10 that are bad.
I doubt that.
So you always go in on the 10 bad ones. But so I think 2004, both Paris and Rome will have to get out of it before Toronto has a chance.
Okay, but then by September 15th, it's like a poker game. You've got to ante to get in. Should Toronto ante to get in?
Well, let me throw out another thing.
Okay.
When I listen to the politicians here, they say they want housing. They want to correct our transportation problem, which is a disaster. So you can get that, and I'm going to throw out something wild. And you'll first thing say, that's stupid. We should go after the 2026 Winter Olympics. Why? We get all the things that we want to get out of the summer games with one-third the cost. And then everybody says, oh, well, we don't have a mountain. There are no mountains in Canada east of the Rockies high enough. That includes Mount St. Anne and Tromblo.
Mm-hmm.
But 60% of the winter games are held indoors. We can run that simple. We got all the hotel rooms. We got everything we need. Then with Collingwood, we can run, which is closer to Toronto than Whistler was to Vancouver. You could run all of the snowboarding. It's high enough to run the slalom because you need between 180 and 210 meters, and it's 200 meters. So out of 96 events, there are six we can't run.
What do you do with them? Whistler?
A couple with Lake Placid. The IOC changed the rules. People keep bringing up that IOC changed the rules on doing things. But the reason they did it, that meant that one country could couple with another one. Because they wanted Finland, the Netherlands, Denmark to bid for the Winter Games. But none of those places have hills either high enough. So they can couple with Norway. We could couple with Lake Placid. And think about that.
So we're talking.
We would be coupling with the U.S. We're in East Coast U.S. television time. And we run it in February when nothing's going on. The problem with the summer games is you got to fight the British Open Golf, or you got to fight Caravana or whatever. Here we got, it's a downtime. It could be terrific. And the two best games I've ever been to have been Calgary and Vancouver.
I was just going to say that. I mean, a legacy of two real successful Winter Olympics, and certainly one a little different in Montreal in 1976 as far as Summer Olympics go. So the 2026 Winter Olympic Games is what you believe Toronto should focus on.
And I can tell you, I'd like to take credit for that bizarre thought, but it was George Grosz who 15 years ago, when we were traveling through Europe, said, Paul, Toronto should go for the Winter Games because you get everything you want. You get massive television if we coupled with Lake Placid for the downhill and the only things we can't run are the downhill, the GS, and the Super G out of 96 events.
Okay,
so
well, interesting.
Yeah. Toronto and Collingwood.
Interesting concept, and certainly evoking the name of the late, great Baron George Grosz. I always am for that. Certainly a giant on the sports scene and a good friend for so many years. Paul Henderson joining us, Gord Stellick on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And the Winter Olympic thing, interesting one, and we'll probably get some phone action in the next day or two chatting about it, throwing it out there. But I want to go back to just
look. Another problem.
What's that?
With what we're talking about
the summer
bid? Games.
Okay.
You got the big $325 million swimming complex at Scarborough.
Right.
It's 2,500 seats. You need 18,000 seats in the aquatic center.
Mm-hmm.
The York University track and field, it went very well. 10,000 seats. You need 80,000
yep.
seats.
Understood.
The opening ceremonies, you need 80 to 100,000 seats. The Winter Games, you only need 45 to 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
You can use the Rogers Center, which worked very, very well for the Pan Am Games.
Yeah.
So if you sit back, and at first you think I'm nuts, and then when you take a look at it all, you say, maybe that isn't so stupid.
Well, what I want to ask you, just to stick on the summer a little bit there, and certainly it is understood, a lot of facilities if they're going to go ahead, but just 96 and 2008, you were involved in both, and just the memories of both, Atlanta coming so close, and then the other one, I guess in Beijing, at some point, did you realize it was a foregone conclusion it was going there? What was your experiences like?
In 96, there were two things going. It was the 100th anniversary of the Olympics, so some people thought it was going to Athens. But then the Berlin Wall came down, and all the Eastern Europeans had no idea what was going to happen to their life. So it became obvious it was going to North America. So we had Breadnought Circuses, which originally Jack Layton was 100% on our side, but he decided to run for mayor, so he had to be against everything that Eggleton was for. And he just drove us nuts, and so we were in deep trouble. Atlanta had Coca-Cola. And so we were fighting Bread Knot Circuses against Coca-Cola. That wasn't a very fair fight. And then what happened is that they called a provincial election, and Bob Ray took over instead of David Peterson. And Bob Ray didn't know what was going on because he was new to the thing, and he sent people who embarrassed us in Tokyo. So I knew we were going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
In the 2008 bid, what happened was that Sydney won 2000, but that was supposed to go to Beijing. But the IOC members decided that they prefer to go to Sydney, and Sydney beat Beijing by 2 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Ranch promised Beijing that they would, that before he left, he'd get the Olympics. And Dick Pound was very strong for Beijing, too. And so the last thing that Sam Ranch did before he left was made sure that Beijing won the 2008 bid. There was no way Toronto had a hope in that time. And that's kind of, you know, when you talk about the Pan Am Games, Jim Watson, who's now the mayor of Ottawa, who was the head of Minister of Health Promotion, and McGuinty, liked the idea about going for the Pan Am Games, which I suggested to them, and then they sent me to Mexico to see if we had a chance in January of 2008. And Mario Vasquez Reyes said, yep, Toronto, we want you to win, but keep the costs under control. And so the basic point about that is don't bid unless you got a pretty good chance of winning. And I think 2024 is difficult, very difficult. 2028 is America's chance, and 2026 would really be fun. We would, I think, the bonuses we'd get out of the Winter Games would be better than we get now out of the Summer Games. But that's flip a coin, I guess.
Well, you shall find out. Hey, Paul, great catching up with you. Really appreciate your insight and thoughts, and thanks for making time this morning.
Okay, thank you very much. And sit back. I know my ideas sometimes are bizarre, but they're not as strange as you might think.